So you had this man call in. He actually called you up. Do people often, is that part of the protocol?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Sure, because it's easier to call than to actually write a letter, although I have had some interesting letters. One of the women who I wrote about actually wrote me to tell me the story of her three relationships that have gone south since she sent in her original application, and that, therefore, she was still on the market.
Oh, she didn't blame you for the problems?
No, because I hadn't ever set her up. That's why I'd included her in my list of appeals.
Do you happen to know if any of the people that you've set up have gone on second dates?
Oh, yeah. Okay. In fact, in the column that I'm talking about, I listed the number, and I can't remember what it was. Like, out of 13, it was something phenomenal, like 5 or 6, which is pretty good. I mean, think about the number of blind dates you may have been on, or people you know of who have been on blind dates. How many of them have been successful? I personally
You seem to have a talent.
Well, she's a professional. So, do you keep more specific statistics, like number of couples that go for long walks in the moonlight, number of couples that have sex in the back of a Dodge Challenger?
I haven't so far had any couples have sex on the first date that they would admit to. But, yeah, you know, like number of references to Disney movies, that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. Maybe I do have a talent. Just today, some people who went out on a date last weekend turned out they were both Jewish.
Oh, it was.
They didn't write that down.
Before the date?
Or there was a conversion that happened. No, before the date.
Wow, that's chilling.
Absolutely.
So I was going to, I mean, there's a little bit of a statistical anomaly in your analysis. I mean, it might be that these people, like, the reason you're having such a high second date success rate is that these people are so pathetic that, just, you know, they keep coming back to the same person because that's the only person that hasn't run.
I don't think so, because if you read the column, there is, and people regularly say, I couldn't believe such an attractive, fabulous person was going out on a blind date.
There's a lot of fabulous people
out there who are too afraid to ask people out on dates.
Maybe she's skimming the cream of the crop, taking only the most suitable people for dates and setting them up, letting sort of the proletarian masses to wallow in their own.
I have a reject file. Some people are instant rejects. Yeah, it's true.
What could I do, for example, to be an instant reject?
Where do we begin?
Well, if someone is, this happens all the time. I get an overweight man in his 40s or 50s looking for a young petite female. Mm. Instant reject.
Really? Also, I mean, different.
I've never yet had a young petite female call, write in and say, hey, I'm looking for a fat old guy who doesn't have any money. It doesn't happen.
See. Do they want fat old guys with money?
Possibly. Yes. Most women write down, or a lot of women write that they don't want someone who's cheap.
There's cheap and then there's like, you know.
Sure, you can have a lot of money and not be cheap, but if you don't have any money, what chances?
But I mean, the romantic
notion,
if you're poor, but, you know, you're rich in spirit, like, you know, instead of the man buying expensive dinners at restaurants or whatever, he could be, like, making little crafts and, like, taking it a lot
But
of cool
I think it's time
stuff.
That we here
making
at the...
Making crafts?
making their own gifts rather than buying them in a store, I think what DJ Enigma
the time spent in mental institutions is conjunctively spent.
Well, DJ the Enigma, I think it's time that this show, like, woke up from its romantic delusions and smelled the coffee.
I know this is going to be painful for me, but proceed. I mean, I have a lot of...
Well, maybe this is the way of the world. Maybe that being the young, struggling, poor graduate student is the wrong way to go about getting dates.
But he has such potential, right? Graduate students are all potential.
True, but does that...
Potential income earners, you mean?
Yes. Do women write in your column asking for men with potential?
I read something very interesting the other day, actually. It related a woman's menstrual cycle to her interest in men, and when she's ovulating, she's more attracted to the, and I don't know why they picked Sean Connery as the stereotypical rugged masculine looking guy.
Have you ever seen Zardoz?
What?
It's an old Sean Connery movie from the early 70s.
This is the late 90s.
Maybe the author remembers Zardoz. He spent most of the movie in a loincloth.
Well, perhaps, but anyway.
That was kind of a weird thing to say.
The other example was Leonardo DiCaprio, and that women were attracted usually to the softer, smoother, more effeminate looking. And please, DJ
I don't know. No, I have
he's a the DJ guest that dare not speak his name.
I have a name for
DJ that dare not speak your name. Jump in if I'm recapping incorrectly. But
well, so I just have to ask you sort of a classification question. Is I well known to studio audiences everywhere as the Enigma?
Try that again.
What was it? I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
What was your name again?
Either.
I didn't quite hear that.
As I am known across the nations and continents as the Enigma.
Yes,
I would say. The question I have for you is, where am I in your menstrual cycle?
You're a baby face. You've got the smooth features of the Leonardo.
But don't I have the sort of angry cragginess of Sean Connery at the same time? The sort of bitter, you know.
Not with that haircut.
This is a baby face. This was totally not the look. I mean, it was totally going for the Marky Mark, I might hurt you kind of. You know, I'm tender, but I might hurt you kind of look.
The angry skinhead. I think it goes well.
Tattoos,
disagree.
Perhaps?
But you disagree. I'm totally. I'm
I
totally
think it makes you look younger and. No, non-ovulatory.
Anti-ovulatory.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But that actually. In fact, women who are in long-term relationships or expressing a desire to be in a long-term relationship were always selecting the more effeminate, smoother-looking man.
Interesting.
Does that mean
the sensitive provider, the sensitive parent rather than the. You know, the macho.
I don't know if parenting
well,
came
sperm
into
donor,
it.
Sort of.
Yes.
Does that mean that craggly, handsome men are doomed to lives of loneliness?
But they're more likely to procreate because they're more likely to get fertile women.
That's
correct.
Cold comfort in the in the later years.
But you too, Lance, are a smooth-faced chap.
Why? Thank you.
The facial hair notwithstanding.
True. Some have compared me to Ed Asner after a failed sex change.
I think that was more out there than my Zardoz comment.
The only reason I'm laughing is because that's what I thought you were.
I'm sorry.
When he calls you Ed.
No, he's too spelt to be Ed Asner.
I think you lied in your application, in your co-host application. You have to check your references again.
Well, I apologize for not bringing in the Mary Tyler Moore Show derived star power that you were hoping for, DJ the Enigma.
But back to LL Coco Chanel. 2000. What are we talking about?
The special needs bin.
I would just hate to think, because it would ruin every perception I have of you, that there are people that even you, LL Coco 2000, could not help. I mean, you seem to be like.
We have so much faith in your power, right?
Exactly.
That it would be sort of a disillusioning to think that.
Well. I'm not interested in helping people who are at that evolutionary end of the scale that feel they need to find a slender, petite female. Mm. I find that just annoying, personally.
So you think these people are not being honest or realistic, or they're in it for some kind of, you know, they're looking for their ultimate fantasy sex partner rather than, for example, I mean, this is sort of, you know, the sort of overweight, aged fat guy.
Yes.
You think he's not really looking for a true relationship if he's looking for some total hot Marlon Perkins? What was the example?
Marlon Perkins.
I don't even know if that's a real person. That's my ideal sex partner.
Combination.
The Mutual of Omaha announcer.
Wasn't Marlon Perkins?
Okay. So that is a real person.
Who's the Great Mets spokesperson?
I thought that was Cappy the Clown.
Toucan Sam.
Wait, I want to go back to the twisted mining road of thought that got to Marlon Perkins and sex objects. Can we go back there just a second?
You know, well,
I think the real issue here is that it's so cliched to be a 40-year-old fat guy and want Jennifer Love Hewitt, right? I mean, let me bounce this off you. If there was a 40-year-old fat guy who wanted a woman of extremely sort of like the right hair color, but who was extremely obese, right? Would you be more likely to indulge that? Even though it was sort of highly specific, but in a different direction, a different point of young girl space, so to speak.
I'm afraid you might be right there. Because something odd or unusual is going to catch my eye, but the typical, you know, I'm a big old guy who wants a young hot chick, really bores me. Go to Chauncey's.
I don't have a problem saying that.
You don't think a disclaimer is, right, is required?
That okay, one? Go to Chauncey's, and if that's, like, too wild for you, go to the Monroeville Mall and check out the big-haired girls.
You're not bringing mall daddies back in this discussion, are you, DJ?
I was working my way up to that. What was the disclaimer? Sex talk. The show Sex Talk does not officially endorse any, like, trashy Monroeville nightclub that's, like, full of...
And makes no promises.
Why not? Why don't we have an official trashy Monroeville meat market nightclub?
The bidding is still open, I believe.
That's right.
Nobody's
What would they underwrite us for this?
I mean, we need
Astroglide.
That's right. We need plenty of lubricant.
What's Astroglide?
It's
forgive my startling ignorance.
DJ the Enigma. It's cleverly titled.
Yes, it's
it certainly sounds futuristic.
Lance, even I, the vanilla DJ, know what Astroglide is.
The vanilla DJ knows what Astroglide is.
I should also add that a bashful caller has called in to endorse the show and encourage you with his support and say that he also agrees with your Jocelyn Elder's opinion, but was too shy to go on the air, so I told them that I would pass it along for you.
Well, caller, thank you very much for that sort of support. I hope you work on that shyness thing. The motto we have in the show is that... please don't be afraid to call in. You know, the stakes could not be smaller.
Yes, we won't hurt you. We promise.
No one's listening.
Except you.
So, Astroglide is one of a family of lubricants, not unlike KY, but probably slippier and longer lasting. You know,
with more high-tech polymers.
Water-based, that's right. Oh, okay. Patentable.
Where does it fall in the
category? It's one of those space-age spin-offs.
Okay, is it related to Loctite at all?
It's related to Loctite, but it has a
WD-40.
It's closer to WD-40.
Right.
Oh, boy. But, you know, there's so much information there, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through it all. I can't help but think that you're... So in my mind, I can't help but think that you are actually the implied third party in any of these dates. You're actually, in some sense, since you've put
they
so much of your personality...
Right, they often discuss, what are you going to say to her? They want to know, how are you going to rate me?
And they probably also discuss, why do you think you were picked?
Yep, that's exactly what they do. They're trying to assess why this show...
Stop talking. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But we have a caller, and even though you're our very special guest...
Let's get the caller.
We've got a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for calling.
Hi.
Yes. How are you?
I'm very well.
I'm so glad you called. Have you been listening to the show?
I have, and I wanted to talk about when I put a personal ad in a newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and the guy turned out to be somebody I already knew.
Ooh.
And I wondered if we could ask the guest whether that often happens. I wouldn't want that to happen again.
Interesting.
Well, my column is not personal ads per se. It's people who send in special applications just for this free dinner and opportunity to be interviewed and possibly ridiculed by their date publicly. And I have never had two people who knew each other, although my editor was concerned about it when I first started the column. I have had people who said, as it turns out, they knew people who knew this person, and actually that was more of a comfort to people, because this is different from a blind date that a friend would set you up on, because, you know, presumably in that situation, you know, the person who's bringing the parties together knows one or both people.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to get, like, on that Pina Colada song. You know, when you meet your boyfriend?
Strains of that tune often go through my head as I'm working.
But Carla, can't you think there's an opportunity to, sort of see someone in a new light?
No, but that's what happened to me, and I'd already thought this guy just wasn't the guy for me. And then I tried to see him in a new light, but I was right the first time.
Well, I guess is the lesson that sometimes things just don't work out?
Yeah.
I'd like to know if you have continued with the personal ads and what kind of luck you've had since then.
I didn't put in my own ad. I answered two ads, and then after that, I just met someone another way. But the funny thing was that he'd been putting ads in, too.
But you didn't meet him through the ad?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say in The Rules, a book which I despise, but nonetheless, I think there's some accuracy in this, that a woman should place the ads and then do the picking.
Interesting.
For those of listeners who aren't familiar, The Rules was a book published to great sort of fanfare and controversy a few years ago that prescribed a specific path of behavior for women to snare a husband, which both sort of provoked a lot of interest in the public at large and the ire of many feminist groups. But
yeah, actually, I read a book called The Real Rules that was supposed to give you the right way of looking at things, not like that book.
And what is the right way?
Oh, less fixation on money and stuff.
Well, it seems like one very common rule is that the man has to either be thin or rich, right? I mean, we've already learned that tonight.
No, I didn't say anything about thin or rich.
Well, true. No, it's the triple combo of being poor, over 40, and fat that really does them in, right?
No,
yeah, I wouldn't like
that. It's
like
the desire
that
for something so opposite from themselves that I find aggravating.
But opposite, and it's a trap.
Not in that direction,
yeah, but
baby.
You don't want to think of his spiritual journey to replace something they've lost to find
find their inner child, that effeminate-looking other.
So, you know, for example, you, LL Coco, you know, long, beautiful, flowing hair, very feminine, very soft, very attractive, and I have this kind of hard, shaved head look. I, who am known internationally as DJ the Enigma. We're opposites, and I think we find each other powerfully attractive, but this is an attraction that can never be consummated, because then our special on radio magic would be ruined.
I thought it was
just
because
just like
you were
moonlighting, right?
Just like
I thought it was because you were as gay as the day is long, DJ the Enigma.
Well, actually, my sexuality is an enigma.
Good question.
My sexuality is an enigma.
It's so enigmatic. Even DJ Vanilla Ice can't figure it out.
Well, nothing's more enigmatic than long stretches of dead air.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too.
Hi, the caller's still with us.
Yeah, so do you train these couples in the rules or in date etiquette before they go out?
Well, thank you for asking that question. Very perceptive. As a matter of fact, I do. I say things like, be nice. Don't forget, if you're interested, to ask for, you know, their phone number, because I won't give it to you. And if you don't want to disclose anything about yourself, you don't have to, because I don't. I'll give the first name and a vague description, but I won't say what their last name is, where they live, or where they work.
Uh-huh. That doesn't seem very rigorous. I was hoping for a Navy SEAL-like boot camp of love.
No, I'm hoping to let, you know, the chips fall where they may.
It does seem like there could be a little debugging that went on. You could actually videotape the date, for example, and then you could sit down with each party and you'd say, yes, there when you started talking about your mom, that was the point where the date went bad.
When she yawned, looked at her watch, and excused herself to go to the restroom.
Kept on looking over at the thin, young, rich guy at the next table. So you could actually, it seems like there's a power, the thing that's missing in dating is that the feedback mechanism is so coarse and humiliating.
Because you have to rely on the other person, and that you can hardly trust them to be objective.
Right, and you never get feedback from the other person. They're like, oh, have
except
a great
for
time.
This column.
Can't wait for you to call. And then
when you read the article that ensues, perhaps you'll find it true.
That is one thing I appreciate about your column, is that there's an absolutely ruthless numerical rating of people.
Yes.
So you can easily know how sexy you are to the other person. It's completely objective.
Oh, well, so that then I actually have a question, because I don't necessarily have been reading your column, but I have been looking at those harsh numbers at the bottom. And these,
like many,
the second dates that have been happening, are they correlated with the do I think I can have a relationship with this person?
Oh, absolutely.
Number. Okay, so when those numbers are high, we should imagine that they're off having at least a second date.
You think we ought to let the rock and scientists at Carnegie Mellon take a look at those numbers and see what they can pull out?
Well, I don't know if the sample size is large enough yet.
Still, I think there's a million-dollar data mining grant in there somewhere.
We heard our caller.
Thank you very much for calling in, caller, though.
Yes, and I wanted to thank you, caller, for making my life just a little bit less of an enigma.
For those of you who would like to call in, our phone number is 621-9728 here at the station, or for those of you on the Carnegie Mellon campus, it's 89728.
Yeah, those high school teacher freaks I referred to earlier appeared to not be...
Jeez, and you're treating them so well on the air.
Why aren't they calling?
I don't know. Maybe they're trapped under some kind of heavy...
Are they off in the lab, you know, doing those assignments, you know, working on those assignments?
I'm a little bit ashamed. Here I am opening my heart up.
Perhaps they're trying to become better teachers rather than satisfy their purine interests. by listening to some Tin Pan radio talk show.
Well, in fact, I think the whole kind of forbidden area of high school teacher-student relationships, I think we have our caller address that very issue. Oh, we're having technical problems. I don't know if we have a caller quite yet.
Is it possible the caller's trying to listen to the radio show at the same time?
That happens, but I don't think that's this.
There's a 7-second delay. You wouldn't get that sort of a feedback. You get
that quickly.
Yeah.
Right, you get some of the groovy.
Well, it certainly is an enigma.
An enigma?
Oh, hello, caller.
Hello. The enigma's cracking me up. The recording, everything. It's very funny.
I have to say, I don't know.
So you're listening to our show for humor value instead of information?
No, not at all. But I can't. I mean, after a couple of drinks and a little evening partying, turning around, I happened to listen in, and I've been listening for the past hour or so, and humorous, but also very intelligent and perceptive. Well, and you're very right with the whole Ann Elders thing. I was shy, and I didn't call before. But in the comment earlier about America being so upset about sex and all of that is very true. You know, and when they fired her, I felt very bad.
I share your. I mean, you have to sort of wonder whether Clinton just hated her for other reasons and wanted her out.
I don't know what it was, you know. But I mean, really, what she said was not craziness. It wasn't even lewd, you know. It was just, doesn't this make common sense? I watch all the British shows and the comedies and dramas, and their attitude is like, well, this is part of life, and then just skirt around this or try to prevent that or do this or that. Just common sense knowledge.
Yes, the Benny Hill philosophy of putting a naked breast where a naked breast belongs.
Caller, where are you from?
Bloomfield.
Hmm.
This is Tim. I have a clothing store right across from the campus. This is Tim Crimes of Fashion.
Oh, fabulous.
Old Nut Nut. And I love the boomer comment about Teddy Duke. It was really funny, too. But anyways.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate calling, and thanks for calling. I just want to, like, in the spirit of your call, I want to just share with America, I masturbate and I like it.
Good for you.
Testify, brother.
Thank you.
So we actually have another caller. So if you want to hang on, or if you wanted to get to a specific
question. I just want to say hi and just say I was really enjoying it, and not just laugh, but serious, good, and stylish, and good presentation, and.
Fabulous.
Very sensible talk, actually.
Thank you very, very much. Well, the class of our show has increased 100% by the presence of LL Coco 2000.
If you play the Enigma one more time, if you don't play it one more time, I won't put through the
Caller, we're confused. What are you talking about?
That recording.
We don't know.
That chilling
sequence
of notes.
It's just the mystic sounds.
Maybe there's something wrong with your radio.
Probably, yeah.
It's probably slipping up a degree to WYP.
Maybe I think it's the cosmos echoing.
the sunspot activity is at a maximum right now.
Pardon me?
Sunspot activity is just past its maximum. It's on its way back down, and there's weird, there are weird things that happen with FM bouncing off the atmosphere.
Oh, yes. It's a very strange universe.
Definitely. Anyway, thank you so much for calling.
Okay, see you.
Fabulous. We're going to move on to our next caller now. Hello, is the next caller there? Echoes from the formless void.
Another enigma.
Hello,
what's happened to the phone bay?
Hello?
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Can you hear us? You seem
I'm sorry. I'm confused between the radio and what I hear.
Oh, turn off the radio. Radio's got to go off because it'll upset you.
Your voice sounds familiar. It reminds me of someone.
Yeah, I feel like I'm listening to myself.
To your dear friend. But to yourself. Well, that's sort of chilling.
It's just the wildest thing. I just feel like I'm listening to myself, especially that part about being annoyed about men wanting really young women, girls.
I'm losing you here. You've been in the
situation?
You've
borne the brunt of such a...
Well, I've been reading the column.
I suspect there are millions of women throughout this great country of ours who share that that irritation, mm-hmm. that the tendency of fat 40-year-old mm-hmm. poor men.
So
I just wanted to mention about the real rules, because I have that book, and they say things like, no, do not... Let him call 5 times and then call him back. You know, how would you feel if someone did that to you? That's not being very real. And that's what the real rules are about.
What does it say about sex on the first date?
I don't know. Nothing.
Nothing? How could it say nothing about sex on the first date?
I don't know if she gets into that, really. I mean, I don't remember, but she'd probably say something like, depends on your age and the people. Yeah.
This, I know, this real rules book sounds kind of lame. I mean, I hate to.
True. Well, let me ask you a question. If the
you
rules
want more
book.
More direction in your life.
Well, if someone's going to give me the real rules, I want to just get down right down to the.
Okay, here it is. Don't do it on the first date. That's for me.
Well, let me ask you a question then. If the rules book is Donna Reed, the actress, what is the real rules book? Is it an early 70s Mary Tyler Moore?
Oof.
Ed,
no,
stop your obsession.
She
was a burnt-out husk of a woman even then.
I think if I may just interrupt and answer that question, if the rules is the 70s Donna Reed, then the real rules is the...
I know who it is. The DJ from MTV who was the Republican. What was
Kennedy.
Thank you.
Is she a Republican?
Yes.
Hmm. She actually has a Republican tattooed on her ass, or an elephant.
An elephant,
a GOP elephant.
Right.
Good Lord, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the author of this one is Barbara DeAngelis, PhD, and I think she's divorced. She's attractive, I don't know.
Well, she must be right if she has a PhD.
Hang on. Attractive to you?
Well, you know, I
DJ the Enigma sense is a conundrum wrapped in a riddle.
This is what we like to call the Howard Stern mode.
But ironically, I think she used to be married to the guy who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Oof.
Then they split.
Ouch.
Before or after he wrote the book?
Good question. You know, I can't answer that. Don't know. But that's just a rumor. I don't even know for sure. I just, God, am I making this stuff up now? I don't know.
It doesn't matter as long as you feel certain.
Caller, what's your question?
I didn't have a question, did I? I just wanted to say I feel like I'm listening to myself.
At least tell us about a humiliating... dignity-destroying blind date you've gone on where you basically went home sobbing and called your mother and told her that you were packing up your bags and moving back to Fresno.
That's never happened to me.
Oh, come on. It has, too.
You're among friends. It's like you're listening to yourself.
Yes.
Well, we'll tell your story.
Yeah, I'll tell your story.
There you go. And I'll tell yours on public radio.
Interesting.
All right, well, it's way past my bedtime, so... I'm gonna let you go.
I'm sensing kind of a Wisconsin vibe all of a sudden. Where'd that come from?
latent Chicago tendency. What can I say? What can we say?
Interesting.
What's your name? We'll do it for you later.
By what's your name? You're referring to Mary Tyler Moore?
No, Rhoda.
So interesting. So Rhoda was kind of a lesbian character in the movie. That
was Julie Kavner. It wasn't Rhoda. I protest.
On the Rhoda show. No, but we're not even getting to the actual Rhoda show. We're still stuck on the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Before the spinoff.
Yeah, before the spinoff.
Rhoda, it's the same Rhoda.
Yes, but in the spinoff,
really.
Rhoda had a sister played by Julie Kavner who wasn't very glamorous. I'll put it that way.
Oh. That Julie Kavner was Rhoda.
No,
she was Brenda, the sister.
Yeah.
Brenda.
Thank you.
Brenda. All right, well, caller, thank you so much for sharing your insights.
On the real rules.
We really appreciate the input.
You're so welcome.
If there are any other callers, please do call in. Country code 1-412-621-9728. If you're on campus, trapped in a lab somewhere, it's just 89728.
Since we think of it as our mission to educate, to teach the public, we'd be especially happy if any people with some sort of teaching experience
background
would call up and sort of set us straight on what we're doing wrong.
So there are at least three listeners tonight. You should be proud, DJ.
Please, we have a listening audience in the hundreds of thousands. The
for any advertisers who are listening.
Well, we can't actually have advertisers.
I know.
We can have supporters though. I mean, like for example, the attractive and intelligent crimes of fashion men. If he wanted to donate some things to the show,
we can always have underwriting.
We can always,
yes,
have,
we can
underwriting.
Always have underwriting. So, Richard,
you know, for example, I'm the dowdy clothing you see me in now, I could be wearing some totally retro 60s Buddy Holly thing. 50s?
50s.
Donated by Crimes of Fashion, and it would make me far more attractive to you, and perhaps we would finally be able to
have that liaison.
Consummate, indeed, the unspoken act.
And Mr. Crimes of Fashion, we do write by you on the show.
That's right.
I believe we have another caller, DJ the Enigma.
Yes, is the caller on the air?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome, and thank you so much for listening and calling in.
Thank you for having the show, everyone.
You're welcome. Did you have an insight to share or a question to ask us?
Well, I was wondering if we could talk more about masturbation and stop talking about these rules books.
What did you have in mind?
I don't know, something steamy. It's getting late, and I'm getting tired. And...
Can't think of anything.
What does that mean?
And you want imagination. You want help?
What are there, 5 people in the studio? 4?
There's a silent bodyguard here.
Salad?
So we have 6, actually.
Salad. Silent.
Silent.
Right. So, you know, so let's see. Helping you
masturbate
on the air. I mean, maybe, you know, after the show, we could set something up. But I think, you know, we'd have a little problem providing you with erotic material on the air. I'm not really sure.
Well, perhaps we could make some suggestions.
Violate our chart. Oh,
yeah.
Indeed.
Say you're bored with a fantasy that has led you to pleasure more than once. What do you do?
Where do you go? Well, that's it.
Well, I just bought some Ready Whip, actually.
Some Ready Whip?
Yeah.
Ready Whip. Ready Whip. You mean...
It's like Cheese Whiz, but it's like whipped cream.
I see. Is it low fat or regular?
Well, it's not low fat, but it's like low carbohydrate.
But you're alone with the Ready Whip?
I am.
Okay, so because...
Unless you've got an extremely agile body.
Or a hungry dog.
See, if I'm going to be alone with a... True. But if I'm going to be alone with a single piece of food, I'd go with slightly warmed up liver.
Liver.
Oh, my.
Oh.
So I mean...
You've offended BJ Vanilla Ice.
I'm trying to... So, with the warmed up piece of liver, it would be a vagina substitute, right? You would insert your penis into the warmed up liver and...
Well, would you warm it, or do you like it cold?
No, you warm it for about 20 seconds in the microwave.
But a better idea.
Yes?
I had a dinner party the other night, and I made a pork loin, and with a pork loin, like they debone it.
So there's a big hole.
Yeah.
String.
Yeah. I wish I still had.
And the words debone and loin can hardly help but paint the proper picture in your head, right?
With a tasty pear Chardonnay sauce.
Oh my God.
Was the company present? Did you serve it with an extra special cream sauce or?
That's pretty disgusting.
Why do I feel like this? This sounds like an ad for that teenage sex comedy. So
you expect women to swallow it, so, you know.
Why not?
I don't.
Guests.
How do you know that?
Well, in general.
Oh.
Okay, so, you know, as the gentleman from Crimes of Fashion pointed out, we were previously on a very intellectual, very high level, very amusing, very topical front, and now we're, like, way in the gutter. So I'm not trying to control any of this, but...
What are you trying to do, then?
The whole pork loin thing isn't...
Are
you saying we're in a race to the gutter and you want the race to stop?
You want to stop the madness.
Well, I just feel like the focus of the show needs to be brought back to my own
needs. Previous level.
DJ, the Enigma.
And what needs would those be? Or are they not knowable by mankind?
Well, I think that's probably the problem.
I thought your need was masturbation. Wasn't that the beginning of the show?
Oh, that's so interesting. Well...
I'm not suggesting that your masturbation fantasies revolve around pork loins served to guests.
No, indeed not. But why are you pointing at me? That's not
I'm sorry I distracted you. Please go on. I'm wrapped with interest.
You are the center of attention, DJ, anyway. Well, it's hard not to point at you at every moment of the show, actually.
Because we're trying to catch the elusive glimpse.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem with masturbation is that it's so predictable. I mean, even if you're being very creative, you are both the source and the recipient of the creativity. Oh, phone call.
Finish your thought, please.
Right, and so the key is actually, this is why you have to introduce elements of randomness, either by a computer program attached to some sort of robotic arm, or if you don't have that technology, you can even do something simple like hold your hand in a bucket of ice for 5 minutes until it goes numb. And then when you masturbate yourself, it'll feel like someone else's hand, or the hand of a ghostly...
Yeah, whatever. A very clumsy, inaccurate hand.
Well, still.
I once had a friend suggest that masturbation was like tickling yourself.
Jeez.
I didn't
better.
Have that problem.
Sure. I believe we have a caller now on the line.
Second caller.
Hello, caller. Are you there? Oh, the technology is so flawed tonight. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties we're having.
True. But if you don't have a computer with a random number generator, you can always just roll a die and then have some sort of chart that determines your hand movements accordingly.
I actually thought that would be a pretty fun sex game to play with a partner. Like, you roll a die, like, which picks a body part on you, and they roll a die which picks a body part on them, and then you have to attach those two body parts.
We're only a step away from Naughty Twister at this point.
Oh, Naughty Twister. So this is a well-established party game that I've just never been invited
to. I'm sure it is in many parties. I don't know if there's an official Naughty Twister, but...
Interesting. So I think the caller might be back.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Oh. Oh, so you must be calling from overseas. I can't help but draw attention to your accent, which is...
Oh, it's very, very deep. Don't you remember me, Lance?
Oh, yes,
of course. It's our previous guest sexpert.
Yes, I would like to respond to the previous caller talking about the use of the pork loin.
Oh, so,
I think this is very disrespectful to the animal. This animal has given its life for nourishment, not for sexual pleasure of a human being who is just lonely.
You don't think that sexual pleasure provides a nourishment of sorts?
Oh, no. It does not require that you kill an animal for it, though.
How would you feel about a warm summer squash? Would that be equally disrespectful?
Well, that would be disrespectful, but the summer squash would not have suffered as much during its life.
You could make it suffer if that was your thing, though.
Oh, yes, but we're not talking about, BDSM and vegetables here. This is just the suffering that is natural, you know, when you kill an animal. It is not nice, and it should not be done for masturbation.
But what if you were to eat the pork loin after...
As apparently the
caller
did.
I'm a vegetarian, so you would not eat it at all. You would let the pig live. If you would have any pleasure, it would be while the pig is alive anyway. That is fine.
I knew it was coming.
Well, the animal like that.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Well, if they keep coming, the easiest way to check is if they keep coming back for more. Right?
Oh, yes. So, you can tell when they smile.
So, Carl, I think you and I share the same spirituality. I suspect that. And in my
are you a vegetarian?
Religious system, well...
I think he's got to start from the ground up on this one.
In my religious system, we believe that actually suffering is very beneficial. In fact, the more you suffer in this life, the more your reward is, and the more higher evolved you are in the next life. And so maybe the animal that gets kind of... killed just for someone's sick masturbation ritual actually becomes, you know...
Oh, yes, and in the next, like, that is when it has its revenge.
Right, well, yeah, it's like lord of its own. Like, it's the sick, twisted, alien computer lord of the of some whole planet in its next life, and it gets to torture the entire citizenry.
Yes, but you will, if you take advantage of this pork rind, you know, you will suffer in your next life, so it is in your best interest not to do it.
True.
Let that be a warning.
Don't karmic laws suggest that you'll also suffer in this life?
Oh, we all suffer all the time.
Especially those listening to our show.
All right, thank you so much for calling. We're going to devote...
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, and thanks for sharing your thoughts and your unique cultural insight. We're going to share the final 2 minutes of our show focused on you, LL Coco, and your unique contributions to society.
Good. I thought it was going to be my masturbation technique.
Oh, well, we can go there too. Do you have a masturbation story at the ready, or you can save that to?
To taunt you for the next.
Oh, I've got a question for you. I want to peer into the mind of a woman. I've heard it said so many times, and this really bothers me. You know, married couples or heterosexual couples in a long-term relationship, the woman forbids her partner to masturbate, or she's really hurt if she finds out he's been masturbating. And this isn't even we're not talking about affairs or anything, we're talking about masturbation. Hmm. Like, if he wants to get sexual release, why doesn't he get it through me?
She should be good enough for him, after all.
Yeah, why does he have to go that way?
You know, really?
Now, the fact that you're looking so puzzled means that my esteem for you is raised even higher, because, you know, I find this as mystifying as you apparently do. But have you heard this thing? Am I just blowing smoke up my...
To be honest, no. That I really haven't, and that's
interesting.
Certainly not how I feel about the issue. My question then, if I am to peer into the minds of men, why do men sit around and watch porn movies together and yet not jerk off?
Repressed homosexuality?
DJ Enigma?
Interesting. Well,
but they're watching heterosexual sex.
True, but maybe that's the only way they can come to grips. Maybe that's the only way they can...
Show their scorn for it?
No, but maybe that's the only way these thoughts can live happily in their mind, is if they're paired with sort of excessively heterosexual images simultaneously.
I don't think I'm sending this show to my mother.
Via
email, which, by the way, listeners,
Does she surf the web by herself? She might just happen to find it by accident.
Well, she already knows the site exists because I emailed it to her the last time it was put on the net.
Okay. I must suppress you like the tiny little people that you are, and have the final word, which is please check our website, sextalk.wrct.com. LL Coco, it's been a pleasure and a privilege. You've moved me in ways I had not previously imagined possible. Thank you all for listening. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Good night.
In the midnight moonlight, I'll be walking along a lonely mile, and